I wanted to talk about, I did want to talk about faith. And I was just thinking when we were all doing singing and everybody was doing it, I was thinking, I don't know if you ever have it, when you can't conjure up faith. You just have to trust the Lord to make it come up out of you. I don't know if you're like that. But if you could pray this prayer with me before I start from your heart, you can just, you know, you don't have to, I'm just going to read it out loud and we'll all pray together. Heavenly Father, we stand before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We relinquish the control over our lives and over our congregation to you. We declare our absolute allegiance to ourselves, spirit, soul, and body. Yeah, Lord. Right now, we receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We welcome you and all your manifestation gifts. Take control of us. We give you freedom to manifest your presence anyway. We might receive your power to be your witnesses in our city and around the world. We receive now the fullness of your Holy Spirit. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. So receive it. As I speak and you hear, receive it. That's where I start off with. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. This is a perfect example of faith. Faith is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see. This is what all the people in the past were commended for. I just want to look at one guy in the past that really, he just went to heaven quicker than I. His name is Enoch. It says, by faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. Before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. I just want to point this out, that no one can please God without faith. It doesn't matter what we do. We just got to believe in him. Can't please him without faith. Everything you do cannot please God unless you live by faith in what you do. There's a very important verse here. Listen to this verse. Do you know that if I stood up here and I didn't have faith in the Holy Spirit, I'd be sinning against God? If you go and do music and you don't put your faith in Christ, anybody, you sin against God. If you put your faith in a man, a preacher, rather than Christ, you sin against God. This is really important. Now watch this verse. This is where it's going. But the man who has doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith. And everything that does not come from faith is sin. This is a really powerful verse. I just wonder, for all of us in this place, myself included, to live by faith is not a joke. It's the only way we please God, and if we don't live by faith, we sin against God. Sounds radical, doesn't it? But it's true. That's what the scripture says. We sin against God. So this is what I want to talk about. I want to talk about faith. And you know, sometimes when the Holy Spirit's moving and everything's going, and sometimes I'm sitting there and I'm going, well, what should I do? What should I do? What should I do? You ever have that? What should you do? And I could hear God say, don't do anything. I'm the one who is living in you. Just trust me. I'll tell you what to do if you need to do something. If you don't, just relax. Don't worry about it. I'm in control. So this is what I want to talk about. I want us to look at the way Christ responds to people in their lack of faith, little faith, and great faith. Okay? So here we go. Christ responding to people in their lack of faith. This is overlooked, this passage of Scripture, a lot. But this is a very incredible passage of Scripture, because I don't understand it, but I know it's here. Jesus said to them, only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor. Now here it is. Here's a powerful verse. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. That's the Son of God. That unbelief can stop the Son of God from healing people. Am I a heretic? Or is this the truth? That our unbelief can stop God from working in our lives. No matter what or whatever happens for all of us. And then he goes, this is Jesus responding now to this. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. He was amazed. So if you really start thinking of how God looks at having lack of faith, that's what he does. He's amazed. Because I am convinced in my heart that when I put my faith in Christ, I don't know what's going to happen, but something's going to happen. And it might not happen the way I want it to happen, and it might not happen at the timing of my app, but it will happen if I put my faith in Jesus. If you put your faith in me or any preacher, it will not happen. Your life will not change. But it will happen when it's in Jesus Christ. And only Jesus knows this. And when he sees that kind of faith inside of us, a mustard seed, he is amazed that we have faith in him. He marvels at it. Marvels. Here's the second one. I'm going to be fast. Christ responds to the people in their little faith. That's not us. Luke 12:28-29. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, here it is, O you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink, and do not worry about it. In this passage of Scripture, I don't have it down here. Let me read it to you. I want to show you something that really blew my mind. See, the Lord is trying to tell us he is bigger than anything. So he brings this one verse, and I didn't put it in. In verse 26 of Luke 12, it says this, who of you, by worrying, could add a single hour to his life? Then he says, since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? He put that in for a purpose. He said, this is a very little thing for God to add an hour or a day to your life. This is little. But you can't do it. Why do you worry? And worry is tied to little faith. When we have that, setting our hearts on what we eat or what we drink or material stuff or all this, as soon as we do, we put a divided heart. And as soon as we get a divided heart, we have what they call little faith. Little faith. And God is trying to tell us, you know, why? Don't set your heart on what you'll eat or what you'll drink. Set your heart on me. And I'm going to tell you, I'm in this one. This is where I am, to be honest with everybody. I'm not in lack of faith. I'm not in great faith. I'm in little faith. And I'll tell you why I'm in little faith. You know why I'm in little faith? Because I'm saved. But when things come into my life, I worry. And God says that's the indicator that you have little faith. As soon as you worry, as soon as things freak out in your life, as soon as you flip out, little faith. And that's where I'm at. And that's where God says it's a divided heart. It's not a heart where I'm set on Christ. I'm set on two things. It's hard to, wherever you guys are, but this is little faith. Here's another one. I'll go back. This is another one. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." Come. I don't know if we know how powerful this is. As soon as we hear the Lord's voice, any of us in this room, not a man, not a preacher's voice, the Lord's. As soon as we hear it and we respond, faith comes into our heart and God does things. How many people believe that? Because this is unbelievable. This is not a myth. This has really happened. You need to get that into your spirit. "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water. A man walked on the water because of the voice of the Lord. Come, come. As soon as we hear God say something to us and we obey it, something happens. You believe that? It's the truth. Because his voice can call things in that are not as though they were. And when he calls you to come, you can do things that are amazing. And when you prayed for Logie, and God, like, only you know, only between you and the Lord, right? Only between me and the Lord. But when you obey the voice of the Lord and you go and do something, and God honors that kind of faith, and he does it. He doesn't honor, and it's good that you said, you want to be a fool for Christ? That's what the Apostle Paul was. He made himself look, he went out on a branch, and many people will go and say, "Man, you're crazy, going around like that." No, you're not. If God told you, you do it. Because people will get touched. That's the way the Lord works. He works by faith. He doesn't work by how talented you are or how skillful you are. He works that you obey his voice. When he talks to you, you do it. He'll set you free. That's the way it works. If you don't, and it's not about all this teaching. That's foolishness. This is about when you hear the voice of the Lord and he talks to you and you obey him, things happen. Things happen. And that's where I'm going with my life, because I want to move from little faith to great faith. And when I show it to you, you're going to say, "Sounds simple." It's not simple. It's not simple. This is little faith. What does he say to Peter? He says, "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And you know what? When you're sinking, you don't begin to sink. You just sink. Why did the Bible say beginning to sink? When you sink, right? Am I right? If you're in the water, you just sink, right? But the scripture says he's beginning to sink. So that's God's grace to Peter. Are you following what I'm trying to say here? God put that in for a purpose. People do not begin to sink. People sink. And so God let him begin to sink. So why? Why? Here it is. This is the reason why. Beginning to sink, he what? Cried out. And God, so all of us in this room, he puts us into places and he puts it into such a way that you're beginning to sink. But you don't sink. He gives you time to cry out. Cry out. As soon as you cry out, what happens? "Lord, save me." And all of a sudden, what does he do? Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand, and he does it to all of us in this room. Everybody in this room. And when you talked about depression, you and I went, it is deadly. And all I kept on doing for 7 years was, "Lord, save me. Lord, save me." And he did. It was like little things. I was beginning to sink, and then boom, I begin to sink, boom. And it was 7 years of root, 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 root. And finally I got out. I don't even know how. I just knew that my faith was stronger in it all. That I was able to step into ministry and handle all the stuff that came at me because of that kind of stuff that came at me. And I know that the stuff that comes at you, you'll be able to handle it. Because God does not make mistakes. He makes no mistakes, not in our lives. He puts us through things, and it's for a purpose. It's to glorify him. I say that right to Colin today. I feel that in my heart. He makes no mistakes. God is preparing him for something. Something beyond. It's heavy when you think of how God does do things, eh? Isn't it? No mistakes with sovereign God. Can't be. Even in all that stuff, there can't be any mistakes. There can't be. Am I right? There can't be. And that's why this is in there. Immediately he reached out his hand, caught him. You of, that's me. That's me, man. That's me. That's me. I'm a little guy, a little faith. I don't even know why he made me this pastor, but I'm a little faith guy. He said, why do you doubt, Miles? Why do you doubt? Many times in my life, he will pull me out. He'll pull me out of my stuff. I'm in all kinds of stuff, and I don't even have faith. Is anybody with me? I am faithless, but he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. And that's the only reason why I'm still standing today. It's not because I have great faith. It's that I look up and I go, God, I have nothing. And he just grabs me and he lifts me up and he pulls me out. Who can say amen to that? All of us can say amen. And you know what? Here's the danger of preachers today. They put so much stock in faith that they don't put it in Christ. That's the most dangerous thing you can ever imagine. Where people start to think, I'm big, I'm fake, I got so much faith. Look at me. Look at me. I'm telling you, man. We need to really understand that our faith needs to be rock solid in the Christ. 100%. Because when trouble does come and it hasn't been rock solid in Christ, you will crumble. And then God will have to, you know, go pick you up and go like this. Okay, let's start over again. And you know how many times I've started over? Oh, hundreds. Hundreds. Hundreds, man. I'm telling you, when you get into some kind of thing, as we're going to move into the old age of my life, I'm telling you, I know I'm going to need this. Save me. Save me. I'm going to need it. We're all going to need this. I don't care what you're going through. We're all going to need, save me. Save me. That'll be the famous prayer for everybody. Won't be, oh, Lord, you're such a wonderful God. No way, not in trials, man. There's no fancy prayers. It's, Lord, save me. Trust me. But he will save you. Even with this little faith, a mustard seed, and he'll save you. He's that type of God. He's looking for faith in you. He's looking for it. It's an amazing thing, man. And here, this is another thing I want to show you. Christ responds to people in their great faith. Now, I'm not in this bracket, okay? So if you're in this bracket, praise the Lord. I'm moving into that bracket. I'm moving into that bracket, but I'm not there. And if you said that you have great faith, well, okay, good. Good for you, man. There are some preachers that are up here, and I'm telling you, I'm serious. You see them all over the world, and boy, you think that, man, they're just like Jesus. It's ridiculous. And when people start putting too much stock in any preacher, I'm telling you, I come to a point and then there's a boiling point. And then I start to address it. I address it. Because only Christ needs to be up on the stage. Really, truthfully. Even if the person is a good preacher. Because it takes away from the power of the Holy Spirit. Because only the power of the Holy Spirit comes when Christ is exalted. That's the only way. And he responds to great faith. Everybody in this room, wherever you are, you're moving to this. Great faith. You're moving to it. Here it is. Great faith. And remember, these two people I'm going to show you are Gentiles. They're not Israelites. This is what makes it amazing. Yeah, not even the apostles were saying, you have great faith. These guys were Gentiles. It's amazing. It really is. And God does not show favoritism. That's what you see. God puts faith in that man, that centurion. He put faith in him. It wasn't his faith. He put faith in him. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed. And notice he's not praying for himself. It's his servant. Hey, oh, selfless, eh? When it's real faith, it's selfless. Asking, Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering. Jesus said to him, I'll go and I'll heal him. The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. But just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. And that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was astonished. Astonished! Imagine Christ, the Son of God, eh? Your faith, eh? And he goes, and you have faith in God. And he goes, I'm astonished for that. You make God astonished. You think of it. Like he made 64 questions, all the world, creation, everything, and Christ is astonished. That's amazing. Isn't that amazing? Or am I just making this up? If God could say to you, I'm astonished at your faith. I'm astonished. I made all the universe. I made everything, and I'm astonished at your faith. Wouldn't that be neat? Tell me if that would not be neat. That's what I want. I want God to be astonished. You're right. When you walked off and you said you're going to be a fool, well, who cares if God is astonished? If you can freak God out, do it. And Dennis, my friend, he does it. He freaks him out. I have met people who do really have that kind of faith. And they might look like fools, but God's astonished. Because they put their faith in Christ. Even if they look stupid. Because he doesn't care. We're fools for Christ. Astonished. I love that. Put that in yellow in your Bible. Astonished. Astonish Christ. Don't give up. Put your faith in him. Let him go, wow, she's not giving up. That's unbelievable. That's crazy. Is everybody with me? To have Christ do that? Who cares what you think or what I think about you? But when he says, I'm astonished in your faith. There's another person too, and it's another one too. It's a Canaanite woman. It's another Gentile. These people were not Israelites. They were not, they're called dogs to the Israelites. Dogs. Look at this. Oh, sorry. To go here. The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. This is real faith. This is the true, genuine, great faith. Just say the word and my servant will be healed. That's it. That's it. You just say the word. You say the word, Lord. You just say the word and my servant will be healed. You just say the word. Anybody in this place, if you believe like that, God will honor that. You just say the word. I don't know what type of healing will come, but he will take you out. Because if you do that and you go, Lord, just say the word. Imagine just trusting in the bare naked word of God. No feelings, no nothing. Just his bare naked word. You think he's not honored? Hey, you don't think so? He's so honored, it's not funny. That astonishes him. You trust my word. You just trust my word. You just trust this book. You trust every word in this book and I'll do something for you. You know what? I'm going to tell you something. I got in my Bible things I wrote in. I know everybody probably does that. But do you know, in 1990, on May 16th, I went into a depression. I thought I was in a comic book. I thought I was going to be stoned for the rest of my life. And I wrote it in my Bible, and then I heard God speak to me in 7 years. And I was reading in the Cancel of Debts, 7 years. He says, in 7 years, I'm taking you out. You'll be finished. Then you're coming into ministry. I heard that. I wrote it in my Bible. I'll show it to you in my brown Bible. I wrote it down. I thought I was hearing things, man. I thought I was nuts. Are you with me? When God speaks to you, you think you're nuts. When you're in the deep, 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 deep depression, you think you're nuts, man. And I wrote it in and I said, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to take you at your word. That this is from you and I'm going to believe you. And on 1997, May 16th, I came out of my depression. 7 years later. Amazing. Because I took him at his word. And he says, if you take me at your word, I will do things for you. I will do it because you're trusting my word, not in a word of a man, but a word from me. And I'll speak to everybody in this room if they want to hear me. And if they trust me, I'll do it. How many people believe this? This is a real God right in heaven, the 64-question God. But imagine, he's the 64-question God, but when you trust his word, he answers. That's an amazing thing. Wouldn't you say it's amazing? When we pray in the back room, that's why we pray. God answers us. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you what. Great and unsearchable things you do not know. He will do it. I know he will. Now I'm starting to move into this great faith thing. I have to. There's no other way. There's no going back now. For nobody. The Canaanite woman, leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre, Sidon. A Canaanite woman from the vicinity came to him, crying out, Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. Jesus did not answer a word. You'd think he was being mean. You know what he's doing? Hey, come on, let's have a Bible study. You know what he's doing? Yes. Yes, Steve. He's testing your faith. He's testing all our faith. You ever have it when you're praying and you're going, God, you don't hear me. You don't hear me. You don't hear me, God. You ever do that? You don't hear me. I'm telling you, I do that. You don't hear me, God. And he just sits there. Let's see. Let's see if he'll keep coming. Or let's see if he'll depart. Let's see. And look at this woman. It's amazing. Jesus did not answer a word, so his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away. This is the disciples now. Send her away. For she keeps crying out after us. She bugs me. Keep that baby quiet. I'm not kidding you. That's the way we are in the church. And God says, you know what? This is my church, man. This is it. And they keep crying. Keep her. Shut her up. Shut her up. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. And you think he's being mean again? You think he's being mean? He's not being mean. He's being truthful. He was only sent to Israel. But the heart of God is so merciful. If you keep coming to him and you keep coming to him like that Canaanite woman, man, God's heart's so merciful. Yes, he's sent to the lost sheep of Israel. But look what happens. The woman came and knelt before him. Gets on her knees and says, Lord, I know. Lord, help me. It's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. You think he's mean, eh? You think Christ is mean, eh? Because they were like dogs. You understand? Gentiles were like dogs. He was not saying it in a mean way. They were called dogs outside of Israel. He says, toss it to the dog. Yes, Lord, she said, this is heavy. Yes, she said, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Can you imagine a statement from like that, eh? Even the crumbs, Lord. I don't care. I don't want the bread. Give me the crumbs. Give me the crumbs. Then Jesus answered, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And the daughter was healed from that very hour. The principle of this story is this. Great faith is rooted in perseverance and never giving up until you get it from God. Never giving up. No matter what situation you're in, Jesus will be merciful if you keep coming to him. Keep coming. Keep coming. Remember the widow and the unjust judge? Kept coming. Kept coming. And then all of a sudden, he goes, if this woman doesn't go away, she's going to wear me out with her coming. And God says, see what happened to an unjust judge? If you keep coming to me, I will do it. Because great faith is in the coming. It's not the answer to the prayer. It's in the coming. Are you hearing that? Great faith is not in the answer to the prayer. Great faith is in the coming. to repeat it because I think it's from the Lord. Great faith is not in the answer to the prayer. Great faith is in the coming to Christ because God wants fellowship with us. He doesn't care. He can answer anything. He wants us. All of us. That's what he's doing with this Canaanite woman. You know, great faith is connected to having time alone with the Lord. There's so many things about great faith that it's connected to this book. Faith comes from hearing. Hearing comes from the Word of God. But the bottom line is, this faith that God gave, he gave it to us. God gave us our faith. You didn't get it any other way but by God. He gave it to us, all of us in this room. And okay, so you say, okay, if I have faith from God, then what do I do with the faith that you build up your most holy faith? By reading, praying, crying out to God in your pain. And he builds your faith. He builds it. And he builds it. And he builds it. And he builds it. And your fellowship with him is so rich and so pure because he's building it. And it's a holy faith. Building a holy faith. That's why all of us in this room, if we have faith in Christ, this is a gift from him. And he's giving us the responsibility or the stewardship. Build it up. Build your holy faith. Build it. Because one, I'm telling you, I've walked this walk so long. I've seen people come and go. I've seen them come and they're all, and then they go off and they're in sin and they destroy themselves. This is a very serious, I've been Christian for 33 years and I've seen people, some of my friends, come to faith and they're gone. So, I'm not here to tell you anything. I'm just saying that this faith is very precious to me. I build it up, make it holy, it'll take me right through the Jordan, right through, and I'll meet Jesus at the other end. And you know, I'm going to say one thing to you. Faith, real great faith, is rooted in such a great sacrifice. Because if you look at Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, that's a sacrifice that is beyond anybody can ever understand. Am I correct? But there is something that in the Bible, more than these two guys, is that Abraham, if you look at him, that is great faith. That's incredible faith. That's why he's called the man of faith. He's our prime example when in Romans 4, when Paul takes his gospel to the Romans, he uses Romans 4 and he uses the Abraham as the principle of all faith. All faith. And so what is it? What is it with this guy? If you ever think, you already got it. Okay, listen to this now. I'm gonna go fast because I don't wanna hold back. Okay, here it is. He said to his servant, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We'll worship and then we'll come back to you. Okay. We'll worship and then we'll come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt... just wait. I want to go right to the front. Sorry. Apologize. I'll go 1-4 and then I'll start at 5. One page? Let me see. Colin, thank you very much. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. Yeah, testing of faith. Testing of faith, right? We're all going to get tested. Tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son. Sounds like the Father and the Son. Father God and Jesus Christ. Take your son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains. I'll tell you, about. Early in the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We'll worship and then we'll come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, hey, does that ever look like Christ, eh? And the Father. Think of it. He's carrying the wood, the Son, the cross. Huh? And the fire. Who's got the fire? The fire of judgment day. This is a perfect example of the Son of God and the Father. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to the father, Abraham, Father, yes, my son. Abraham replied, the fire and wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. This is so powerful that God said this is the extreme example of great faith that he put in Romans 4, and then he put it in. And I just want to tell you this. This is his faith. This is Abraham's faith now. This is his faith. He said to his servant, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We'll worship and then we'll come back to you. Do you see the faith? He was going to sacrifice his son. How are they going to come back to him? Is everybody listening to this? How can he say that? I and the boy will come back, but he's going to kill his boy as a sacrifice. How can he come back? Heavy, eh? And then Hebrews 11 says the whole thing. It says the picture. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. Now do you see why he has great faith? And Paul, he talks about Romans 14. All through Romans, you want to read that book. I'm going through it with Omar. You want to come and see me on Thursday at 9 o'clock at my house? You can come. I have a Bible study downstairs with Omar. But Paul says there's weak faith and there's strong faith. And weak faith, this is weird, is people who keep rules and all that stuff. Strong faith is when people can have freedom before the Almighty God. And we always think weak faith is when you keep all... No, strong faith is when you keep all these rules and all these things. That's weak faith. I'm finished. I can tell. I didn't... Oh, good. Didn't go too long. Praise the Lord. But I do want you to do one thing. And I'm just going to go. This is it. If you could pray for this. Because what I'm saying to everybody right now is God has given us faith, but he's asking us to relinquish control so he can come. He wants to rise up in you and give you great faith, all of us. And we can't do it by accusing, you got no faith, you got no faith, you got no faith, you got no faith. It's between you and the Lord. And he wants to come and live in you and rise up. And he wants to give you great faith. So this is the three prayers I would ask you to do. All of us, if we can get like in a group of three. And just pray for these three things. If you could. And pray for the people that are not here right now. Pray for our church. Pray that people will not be discouraged. That God's Holy Spirit would rise up. Is everybody with me? Because we're a body, man. And we're together on this thing. And we need to be concerned about everybody. So please, if you could do that.
Holy, 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 Lord. shall praise thy name in earth and sky.